petrodollar, 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 petrodollar. I love this basketball team. Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face.
Hey, I'm Sean.
Yes, Audio Face on the Syndicate 23 Network. We had a really interesting week in news, and by interesting, I mean slow.
There's no shit.
I mean, we have shit, so like, don't stop listening right now. But like,
Stop listening and like, turn off your computer, phone, and go to We Made It podcast instead because they're a lot more funnier.
Yeah, turn off your phone and then turn it back on again and then go to the We Made It podcast because they can make a lot of fun out of not a lot of happening in soccer news because they're off season right now, right?
Yeah, most of the leagues are off right now.
And there's a Gold Cup going on. I saw that on TV.
That was rough. That was so rough.
United States played against Mozambique. It's a good match.
And that's where we end football right now because I was about to go off on that. But
all right,
musica.
So I wanted to start with...
Oh, shit, no, I didn't get a chance to do that.
What?
Daily's new album.
Oh, yeah, you didn't get a chance to listen to that?
No.
It's okay. I'll do it with you. So Daily is an artist I first heard of from... Daily's an artist I first heard of from his Gorillaz collaboration, Donkomatic.
Yeah, Donkomatic.
From 2010, around the Plastic Beach era. And he's this guy from, I want to say Manchester. I want to claim him as being from Manchester, so I really hope he's from Manchester. But
he's going to be like from Leeds or some shit.
Yeah. Daily is from, according to Google, Manchester. Holla at your boy.
Damn
okay.
It.
But no, he has like...
stroking his own ego.
He has the most, like... one-of-a-kind vocals. His vocal range is just so insane, and he's just very soulful with the way he, like, sings, which is amazing. Also, his hair's kind of wild.
His hair is wild.
But he came out with an album called The Spectrum, and it really does not disappoint. It's very soulful. It's very electronic. not very electronic at all. There's one song, the closing song on the album, Careless, Sean, you'll actually really love, because it's, like, kind of a house beat.
Ooh, there we go. And now we're talking.
Yeah, it sounds like Disclosure could have like secretly ghostwritten this.
I'm kind of down. Like old, like 2012, 2013.
Or done the production, yeah.
Disclosure, like.
Yeah.
Still underground, like playing with Scream, back pre-settle. To back to Scream. Yeah,
pre-sellout
Disclosure.
It's a nice, no, settle, not sellout.
That's the sellout.
God damn it. Whatever, okay, but yeah. since I haven't heard the album, I guess there's not much to say about it, but, like, or, like, have a back and forth about it, but, no, it's awesome that Daily's, like, pushing out new music, and that he continues to get better and better.
Because I like Donkomatic a lot.
Yeah, but, like, this sounds, other than the fact that Daily's on it, sounds nothing like Donkomatic. Well, he has his own, like, some of the songs are a little funky, some of the songs have, like, a lot of soul. It's, like, a really nice, like, R&B, like, get-together.
So it's chill, alright.
Yeah. Very light on collaborators. I think there's only three, none of which I've really
good,
heard
of. Good, finally, because everybody's like, let's collaborate with the entire goddamn music industry. He's like, kill pill
yeah.
real quick.
Let's have everyone come down the block and do a song with us.
Pause.
Okay. next up.
Next up. So Coldplay doesn't suck
the thing.
For once in my life.
This
holy
is the,
shit.
This is the opposite thing where I have barely listened to this, but Coldplay came out with a new EP, and it's been a little rough for Coldplay.
So, okay. Since about 2011, they've turned pop and shit and terrible. Sorry, whoever big Coldplay fans are. But I used to, like,
coming
love them and also
fan.
call them fake Radiohead. But they're... they were pretty damn good for... the first album was really, 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 really good. Parachutes. But the other ones were pretty good, too. And then 2011 came around, and then they've just gone the whole route of super pop, really weird album covers of just color explosions. Like, what the fuck's going on? Then they did a goddamn song with the Chainsmokers. I'm like, all right, you need to kill yourself.
All right, and yeah. Then, so let me just, like, go...
and then
a little in. Let me go a little in for just a second.
Let's see, how about it? Let's see what you say.
So... thankfully, so I was, like, full disclosure, I was rushing a little bit this week to listen to the few things that had to be listened to this week with music-wise. So thankfully, this is an EP and there's only, like, 5 songs asterisk. I would say there's 4 songs.
4 songs.
Because once I saw the Chainsmokers, I was like, okay, cool, I can just skip
and
this.
It's
totally.
Like a Tokyo remix. That's not a fucking song.
I literally didn't listen to it because the Chainsmokers are there. I hate to be that, like, always closed-minded, but I won't do 21 Savage, and I won't do the Chainsmokers. I listened and didn't skip through DJ Khaled's new album.
Yeah, I was going to bulge my eyes out to that one, but...
Yeah, I tried, okay, but...
What's your take? I want to hear it.
No, so the first three songs, the only songs that matter, I would say, on the album, Kaleidoscope, the EP, are really good. It's kind of like early 2000s Coldplay, I would say, where, pretty close to, like, by the book alternative, big, like, huge, almost like crescendo sort of, like, midpoints and ends to the song. They just, like,
all comes builds.
Yeah.
The first song,
Trumpets.
All I Can Think About Is You is really good. It's like a stripped down, well, not super stripped down, but for Coldplay right now, stripped down. There's almost no electronics on that song. And it has a really cool bass line. It's quite like, the vocals are quiet, understated. There's a piano and everything. It's like, it's just a good alternative song, which I haven't heard in a long time. And I looked, when they had a Kaleidoscope EP, I saw it, and I saw the album cover. I'm like, ah, fuck, here we go. Here's going to be some stupid electronic line that they're going to come out. Or the next thing you know, they're going
to be... Because it does look very similar to A Head Full of Dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
The album cover.
I'm like, please don't. No. Not again. And it's not.
Yeah, so do you like Coldplay again?
No, I can never fucks with them ever again since they started going the Chainsmokers. But, like, they produce an insane amount of music, too. But this is the first time where it's like, in a long time where I go, okay, it's good, you know?
So Coldplay's headed in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. Where I think they went way too commercialized and sold out. Like, they had Target commercials and shit. Like, kill yourself. But now it's like, okay, they actually did good music for once in almost a decade.
I'll describe it the same way I described it to you off mic, which is that Kaleidoscope, out of 5 songs, 3 of them were good. Congrats, you got a 60% Coldplay. That's a D-. That's better than you've been doing recently.
Yeah, it's way better than you've been doing recently. So,
because Head Full of Dreams was an F.
That was rough.
Well, I liked...
You like a couple, like one or two.
Ghost Stories
wasn't bad. Well, Ghost Stories had 2 decent songs, but they were just like two radio songs. Like, if that makes any sense.
Like was it overplayed, or yeah, is it just like made
overplayed
for the radio?
Or like, yeah, overplayed / you could tell it's kind of made for to be popular, you know?
Right.
And this one, the 3 songs, All I Can Think About You, Miracles, and Aliens, they're not really made for the radio, because I haven't heard it on it yet as of today, but they're not really radio songs.
Yeah. Not applying this to Coldplay exclusively, but is there something wrong when an artist makes a song for radio? Like, would you permit... I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, Coldplay does it too often.
Okay.
That's what I think.
There's a threshold.
That's what I say, when they produce an insane amount of music, because every time I'm on the radio, it's like a new Coldplay song. It's like, okay, what same beat are they going to fucking do now? Or like, what pop weird bullshit are they going to do now and throw purple, pink, yellow at each other and smile? Like, what the fuck are you doing?
And play the Super Bowl and get upstaged by Beyonce.
Yes, precisely.
Okay, so...
Put some drones in your shit, all right?
Make it
interesting.
Because to me, I'm okay with artists making a couple songs on their album that are, like, more radio-friendly.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the way the business is played. You need it to, be played on the radio.
But
heard,
to me,
right?
That's all they've done until this EP.
Okay.
For the past, basically, since after 2011, that's all that they've done is that.
That makes sense.
And they just, like, pumped out music since 2014, 2015, last year a little bit, this year. It's just like, y'all, can you chill for a second? Stop pumping out music. You're becoming like Drake or some shit, which is like an album every year. Like, stop. It's okay, like, yeah.
It's pretty much all we said,
say
on that.
Pretty much. I'm like, it's 5 it's songs, good, it's a whole. Good, it's a good step in the right direction.
Yeah.
It makes English words sense.
Tyler, the Creator, he's going to have an album coming out next week, which at least I will be listening to and you will be listening
to. Oh, hell yeah, I'm listening to that.
And we'll review
Except it's kind of whack that he called Pomona LA, but okay.
Actually, funny thing, I saw Tyler, the Creator, live in Pomona.
I know, you were there, but he was like, LA, that's sex. I go, that's not LA, mate, that's Pomona. Pomona is, that's rough.
Okay, well, what else are you going to call Pomona?
Pomona.
But no one outside of L.A. knows
you
where the hell
Pomona
is. You
could just say, Pomona is way east of LA. That is the best way you could say it. Because it's nowhere fucking close. It's like 2 hours away.
No. It's... traffic. If you're... Well, by that definition, Long Beach is in LA because it's an hour away in traffic.
Yeah. I mean, even without traffic, it's at least... I mean, if you're driving 90, 30 minutes.
Okay, if... This is the most LA conversation right now, right? But if you're on the 605 and you're going north from Long Beach, what I would consider safely Los Angeles, you can get to Pomona, which I'm pretty sure is also in Los Angeles County. Pretty quickly.
It is. It's. I think actually it might be on the border of
LA
County.
This is a horrible conversation. Yeah,
but anyways, I can't fuck with Tyler, the Creator.
Tyler, the Creator is coming out with an album. Yes. And the reason there's a little bit of controversy is because Tyler, the Creator... So, I want to take a minor step. I want to take a minor step back and talk about Odd Future and kind of what they've become.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
it's weird.
Yeah,
but eating more donuts.
But like, let's think of all the people that have kind of come out of the Odd Future, like world. Like Vince Staples, to an extent, was like friendly with Odd Future, even though he wasn't technically a part of it.
I would say that's more of like an affiliation.
Yeah. Frank Ocean kind of has developed his own career out of that. Earl Sweatshirt has been a little quieter lately, but he's also come out with that. And so, like, but you also have members like Jasper and Domo and, like, all these people you kind of haven't heard of before.
Yeah.
So it's like, I compare it to, like, Wu-Tang Clan, in a sense, where, like, once they broke up, some of them had their own things. Like, ODB had a little bit of stuff. I know... Q-Tip did a lot of things. A lot of Q-Tip's solo work was my favorite. But it's interesting to see, like, how they kind of spawn from this, like, weird amalgamation persona thing into their own... They spawn into themselves.
Coming from a big, like, a giant group into doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. A super group, basically.
So, yeah, Tyler, the Creator, has kind of always been, like, the front man, I guess, of that group, I would arguably say. Yeah. And it's weird because... While a lot of them have gone in different directions, Tyler, the Creator's, like, distinct, kind of very offensive, off-the-cuff style has kind of been, like... Yeah, he said a lot of things that, like, really I can't even defend in his lyrics. All over the guise of, oh, it's a joke. But, like, I just don't know how seriously to take jokes anymore. But anyway, so it's interesting because Tyler, the Creator, has had a history of kind of misogynistic, kind of homophobic lyrics. Let's take some examples from Goblin, one of his earlier albums. From Yonkers, which is actually a song I really love. The first line is, I'm a fucking walking paradox. No, I'm not. Threesomes with a fucking triceratops. Reptar, rapping as I'm mocking deaf rock stars. Wearing synthetic wigs made of Anwar's dreadlocks.
Whoa. Sorry, I just read one of his lyrics.
Read it out loud. Go for it.
Holy fuck.
What song is it? And read it out loud.
Fella. Then my dick went limp, so took about 3 pills of Extenzo. Now my dick's longer than a 5-door limo. Harder than a soft right hook from Kimbo on PCP and cilantro. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious.
And then there's that.
I can't even read half of these.
Radicals. Fuck cops. I'm a fucking rock star. Rebellion and defiance makes my motherfucking cock hard. Fuck pigs. Fuck guards. All some fucking retards. Fuck school, I'm a fuck up, fuck Harvard.
All right.
Oh, here's She.
She's wild. She's
fucking
crazy. 1, 2,
you're the girl that I want. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, shit. 8 is the bullets if you say no after all this. And I just couldn't take it. You're so motherfucking gorgeous. Gorgeous, baby, you're so gorgeous. I want to drag your lifeless body to the forest and fornicate with it because I'm in love with you, cunt.
Here's another one for She. I just want to talk and conversate because I usually just stalk you and masturbate, and I finally get the courage to ask you on a date. And then you drag the forest and the raper, so.
So Tyler, the Creator. So Tyler, the Creator, has a lot of interesting lyrics that he has come out with over the years. So interesting that he was banned from the United Kingdom for apparently his controversial lyrics, which is just a crazy story, but.
That's fucking hilarious.
Anyways, that was 2009. That's not to defend that at all. But right now, the reason why we're talking about this, other than the fact that he has an album coming out now, is because there are a lot of lines that, even though they were, like, really homophobic in the past, Tyler, the Creator was, it seems like he's coming out of the closet, maybe?
Apparently he's gay? What?
For example, there's a song called Scumfuck Flower Boy that leaked out where Tyler says, next line, we'll have him like, whoa, I've been kissing white boys since 2004.
Whoa.
Let's see. Another set of lyrics from the track Garden Shed, Reading from Enemy, which features Estelle, has also been highlighted by Uproxx for how they cover the subject of hiding love. This was real love I was in. Ain't no reason to pretend. All my friends was lost. They couldn't read the signs. All I didn't want to talk. Dead. I'll tell them my location. They ain't want to walk.
Pull the handbrake. Pull the handbrake. I was about to say some wild shit, but I'm not going to, because we would get banned from the UK.
And then, so apparently in 2015, he also had a lyric that said, how can I be misogynist, love titties and ass? How can I be homophobic when my boyfriend's a fag? End quote. So, Tyler, so I don't know what to make of this other than that Tyler, the Creator, is just a little bit of like a careless provocateur.
Fucking weird. Just to say the easiest thing out of anything to say.
No, I think he just, like, Tyler, the Creator, back in 2011, 12, 13, 14, just seemed like he didn't really care too much about, like, his lyrics or...
No, he didn't care about anything. He's like, I'm just going to throw some stuff like, out.
The idea is that, like, he's just kind of throwing it out to say it, to say controversial
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, exactly.
To so be provocative.
He's doing the Milo.
For the sake of, yeah. God, I fucking hate Milo. but yeah, it seems like he's doing that, and he's doing it again to stir up some more shit. I don't know if he's, like, really coming out for sure, and maybe if anything, there's an art to the fact that you don't know if Tyler, the Creator, is serious or not.
I guess.
His lawyers would like to Alex Jones it and say that he's not serious. But I really just don't know.
That's really, really weird.
I'm just going to listen to the album, take it for what it is, criticize it for like the bullshit lyrics that it will probably have, try to rate it musically.
You're going to have some. Are you going to wear some donut t-shirts and stuff that says golf on it, like really random?
I never owned any golf wang.
Thank
like,
you. Well, fucking hipsters.
Okay, hot take. The only reason Tyler, the Creator, is popular is because that's what a bunch of white kids want to listen to, the sound rebellious.
That's very true.
But the only reason Tyler, the Creator, is even fucking relevant at all is because a bunch of white kids just want to...
In Pomona. Like,
yeah, a bunch of... White kids in Pomona? no.
I was going to go off, but another handbrake.
Don't.
Exactly, handbrake.
I'm going to step on the gas.
Oh, God, here we go.
No, but yeah, Tyler, like, most of the people I know who love Tyler, the Creator, the most are white people. Who,
yeah,
like,
actually,
aren't
to think of
super
it.
Into, like, they're not rap really into that rap, much. They're just like, hey, look at this, like, rebellious guy who, like, doesn't give a fuck. And I guess every generation kind of has that. You had, like, your punk rock, and then you had, like, Marilyn Manson and all these, like, different kind
I forgot
of
about that.
Weirder acts, right? And dude, I think Tyler, the Creator, is just one of those, like, weirder ass acts that
He's
has kind of existed.
Really
strange. But nevertheless, act. It's music. It appears on Billboard. It charts, so I have to give a shit about it.
But just on more of like his fashion, just like he's fucking hipster. He's wearing like little 90s Barbie glasses and...
I've talked more about Tyler, the Creator, than I really fucking want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I know. I do too.
Let's talk about it. Spotify.
All right, so Spotify.
So Spotify, speaking of controversies,
more
Spotify
controversy.
Got into a little bit of a controversy. So the story...
It's just a really
I have to really break
story.
Out my like story explaining skills.
But
here.
You do it. I can't explain
okay,
it
so,
at all.
A lot of this I'll thank to... Danny, well, The Verge, Micah Singleton, and Danny Deli. I totally fucked up that last name, but they did a lot of the reporting here that I'm relying on. But from what I can understand, there's a music industry blog called, should fix that mic. There's a music industry blog called Music Business Worldwide, right? They published a story last year claiming that Spotify was hiring artists to like work for them almost like a label would and then putting their songs on Spotify playlists kind of the public Spotify playlists that are curated that a lot of people listen to that show up when you just start browsing the app
right.
The concern over this is because if Spotify is acting like a record label while simultaneously making deals for record labels there's a conflict of interest in how it promotes Spotify songs versus record label songs because they want to make more money, or they want to
you don't
not
have
to pay
royalties.
Royalties.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Yeah, a number of things, which would be kind of shady. Vulture published an article within the past like week or so, kind of highlighting that initial story. And a lot of what's pushed the story was the fact that Music Business Worldwide and Vulture were looking at a lot of these playlists, mostly like chill jazz piano playlists on Spotify. They're looking at them and finding artists that only had a presence on Spotify and nowhere else on the internet. So, a little sus, right?
Yeah.
Turns out Spotify issued a strong denial in Billboard.
Oh, of course. Well, yeah.
Naturally, what you would do. It's so weird. In politics, I kind of covering politics all the time, I kind of forget that people can, like, deny things.
Can say no.
Because I'm so used to people just, like, obnoxiously admitting things were true and then going, so what? But, no, Spotify denied it, and they gave, like, a lot of
like,
reasons.
Like, factual reasons of...
Yeah. For
why not,
which
I guess.
Kind of tend to agree, especially with like the Verge's reporting that they'd done on their own to kind of figure it out. So basically what the issue ultimately turned out being was that you have these artists who are like established and have profiles everywhere else who publish music on Spotify under pseudonyms.
Okay.
Yeah. Spotify will reach out to some of them and make some, like, agreements to, like, hey, let's get your music onto Spotify so we can populate these playlists that otherwise wouldn't have a lot of music on them. In return, there are probably some, like, normal royalty deals that are going on, but these artists are independent. Spotify is not acting as any sort of, like, liaison between it, the entire thing. They're not acting as a record label, and so... pretty much that's how the story goes.
And also, I guess they were promoting an insane amount of Swedish music peoples. So I think that was also going on along with the story, saying that that's like fishy that they have so many artists in their playlists that are all Swedish. So, but I mean, they are, I think they...
Spotify is either Swedish or British.
So I think they're a Swedish company, or they...
They're Swedish, yeah.
So, or, yeah, they started there, because so did, like SoundCloud or something else, too.
Yeah.
And,
Spotify's headquarters is, in fact, in Stockholm.
Stockholm, okay.
As is SoundCloud's. You're right.
Oh, don't sleep on your boy.
Yeah. So...
But really it would make sense, because Sweden music is... I've just learned this the past couple of years... Whatnot from little small local bands and stuff that they apparently get a lot of hits in Sweden and stuff. And so there's a big music scene there. So it doesn't seem, it seems like it's not the whole story, I guess, from what MBW has claimed. Because, you know, saying, hey, why is it, it's kind of sketchy that all your playlists also are featuring Swedish musicians that have nothing else but on your platform, but maybe they're trying to get more in-house people, pretty much, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of ways to take it. It's very complicated. We're still trying to figure out exactly.
It's a very, very weedsy conversation, but...
Yeah.
I want to... But, like, it seems like the story is open and closed, but I think it raises up a lot of possibilities of where the music industry could be going in the future, so I want to have, like, a minor conversation about that.
That's fine.
How would you, like... What would be the ramifications of Spotify? Let's say they're not... Let's pretend that in a neutral world where Spotify doesn't act as a monopolistic power, let's say they decide to be a record label. Would that necessarily
be
bad?
A record label and a streaming service?
Yeah, because let's look at Apple, for example. Apple is like... They make products, they have services to some extent, but Apple is also getting into original content. That original content sucks. There are two shows, they're like Planet of the Apps, what is like Shark Tank with app developers. I think Will.i.am is on it, and it's like terrible.
Will.i.am's...
Will.i.am is on like the creative developer, like he's...
But Will.i.am is like deep state Apple, because he walks around wearing fucking Apple headphones everywhere. Like, he probably, he goes to sleep, wakes up, showers with them. Wherever you see Will.i.am, he's like, Apple headphones, like, are you a cyborg now? Did Tim Cook just, like, take off your head and put it back in or something? Like, what the hell is going on, Will.i.am? Like, bud.
But, so...
Eat a pear. So, you got too many apples in your fridge, just switch it up, put a pear in there, you know?
Will.i.am, eat a pear.
Will.i.am, eat a pear. Stop eating an apple.
Should just find an episode name. Yep. So, like, Apple's getting into original content, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they also control the way that content goes. the net neutrality argument that was happening right now.
That's a concern over the fact
that companies that control a lot of the pipes that go through to people, like Comcast also happens to own NBC Universal, this massive TV and movie company. Time Warner Cable, which is now Spectrum, has AT&T.
AT&T.
A lot of pipes and signal around the country, and spectrum around the... I can't use the word spectrum anymore because I could be referring to the scientific version of spectrum. I could be referring to a fucking cable company now. God damn it. But, like, AT&T and Verizon and a lot of other companies are starting to vertically integrate so that they control the content and they control the content delivery. And that's the concern over net neutrality, is that, like, hey, that's a lot of control you're having there. Let's make sure you're not prioritizing your own content versus someone else's.
Yeah, so that way everything gets a fair share.
Yeah, so bringing that back to Spotify, let's pretend that Spotify was net neutral, in a sense, where, like, they didn't prioritize their songs in any unfair way than, like, music from any other record label. Would it be good for Spotify to do that? Would it be good for the music industry? Would it be good for musicians? Because I have some thoughts. I am open to it because for two reasons. A, Spotify is in Sweden. That means they have to deal with the European Union. And the European Union is going to be very tough on regulating to make sure Spotify would be fair.
To a point.
Not perfectly, but let's assume perfect conditions. Let's pretend we're economists and assume that everything's
perfect. So in your utopian society where... Oh, wow.
In my utopian society where everyone has healthcare and...
I would say where my utopian society where it's 65% socialist, 35% capitalist. Do you know 65-35, he would have won.
Ah! Yes.
Petrodollar.
Yes, but to me, I don't mind that. Because by Spotify going in and saying, hey, we have this kind of direct-to-market way, I think it depends on how you frame it. If Spotify goes to artists and say, like, hey, we can act like a kind of independent label in the sense where we give you your independence and we try not to screw you over, but we also have this great capital investment of getting you direct to consumers. In return, maybe you do some special, like, Spotify sessions here and there.
Okay.
Maybe appear at some of our events, but, like, we will represent you like a record label and we will provide a better alternative. In turn, Spotify can start, like, owning the means of production, I guess, if you will say. And they can start to generate more revenue in that way and kind of protect themselves and have more bargaining power against
the big labels. The thing I'm afraid of, if that ever happens, because it can never be utopian society because you have to rely on humans and you can never do that now. You can't ever rely on people. Is that... if they have that much control, they can screw the fuck out of artists. They can have complete control over what they want to have as their music, if that makes any sense. To where, because a lot of music is built up around political issues or shit that's going on in the world, pretty much, or whatever.
Would Spotify have any interest in tamping that down?
They could. If they go, wow, I'm going to put a tinfoil hat on right now. I hate myself.
All
right.
Tinfoil hat Sean. This is going to be great. Tinfoil hat
Sean. No, I was saying, if they have some company or some outside help that buys out Spotify and controls them, then they could start controlling the music and you could control what word gets out. And if they're going to be the number one, if they somehow become a record company or something, this is extremely hypothetical, but... I'm trying to think of how to frame,
like, some reason.
If there's a company that buys them out and has, like, ideas of what they want to do, like, okay, we are extremely left-wing or extremely right-wing and we want this or that, then they can kind of control music and then you're not going to be able to hear out. Like, there's a lot of bands that, you know, say issues that are going on in the world and then out of nowhere, you're not going to hear that. So it can be another way of, being not really brainwashing the public. I'm trying to think of the words, but of
Cutting off free speech.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly. Cutting off free speech.
The way I push back on that is you have so let's look at the real world and what's there right now. You have Universal Music Group. You have Sony. You have all these big connected, like, spider web of companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
they're way bigger than Spotify, way bigger than this, like, magical Spotify music... sorry, way bigger than this magical Spotify music group record label could ever be, at least in its initial state. I don't see them really censoring political speech that much or anything like that in music. I mean, I guess you wouldn't know if they weren't, but you have some pretty liberal people and some pretty conservative people. You have Tom York and you have Ted Nugent.
Right, yeah.
And they're both able to speak freely and they're still on record labels to some extent. Tom York, I don't know what Nugent is on, but I don't think Tom York is on any, like, major labels that are connected to Universal, but nothing's happening with them. And maybe that's a bad example because I'm comparing that, but I don't see the threat of political speech to be a big thing if this happens. I only see the threat of access. So if, for example, if in my utopian idea that Spotify said, no, if you're going to be on the Spotify label, you have to only have your music on Spotify, or you have to do exclusivity deals with Spotify where you release on Spotify first. That I'm a little more touchy about. Because then you're directly making, you're putting your service ahead of things, and at the same time you control the music.
Arguably, too much into one, pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can see that.
I think there's dangers to the vertical integration of the music industry in that sense, but I also think that because the tech industry is so disruptive, I want to kill myself just saying that out loud.
It is extremely disruptive.
But, like,
to say the least.
It's just such a cliche to say, oh, tech is disruptive. We're going to disrupt the industry, whatever. Just a bunch of
next Bill Gates comes
guys
from
sitting
8.
At computers all day, jacking off. But, like, every computer science major I know is going to hate me.
right.
No, but I think the tech industry can disrupt the music business and make it more fair to consumers.
Okay.
Make it more fair to consumers, but make it more fair to music producers. Maybe Spotify becoming a record label is not the right way to do that, but I feel like there's something that could happen there.
I mean, there's a lot of options, but that's just one way. Okay.
Right.
I could see that, so...
Want to move on?
I guess, I mean, there's, like, jack shit to
talk about. We are really spreading this out. We've talked quite a while, even though this is a small episode. Michael Jackson's Halloween. That's going to be a special.
What the fuck? Why are we even talking about this? This is so weird.
So there's a Michael Jackson Halloween special in the works, according to Hollywood Reporter. And it looks... There's like an animated
still
that was shared.
Tim Burton style
animated. It looks very
animated.
Tim Burton-esque.
Lauren would be very happy.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been a while since like Michael Jackson died. And
2009.
Yeah, and that music, it's almost like almost 10 years. And so, wow, we're old.
The last thing I ever heard was like he did Escape, or they released Escape.
Yeah, there's like unreleased things he was working
13,
on.
13, 14? Because there was one he did, I can't think of the song, I can't think of the song title, but the one he did with Justin Timberlake.
Right.
Which was a really good song, holy shit.
But I guess it's interesting and kind of smart, because like you have a new generation who's like not as, and we've talked about this before, they're a little divorced from the 70s and the 80s and even the 90s to an extent, right? And so this is one way to say like, hey, we're going to have a little animated special for the kids with some of Michael Jackson's music. And so,
oh, wow, okay, estate, I actually didn't even think about that.
For the estate, that's going the estate of Michael Jackson, it's a great move. I have nothing wrong with Michael Jackson songs. I just said in the last episode, two episodes back in Audio Face, that there's a Michael Jackson song that gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's one of the best artists ever.
Yeah, never mind the child rape thing.
Just gotta
throw that out there.
Don't talk about Neverland, and you're good.
Just gotta throw that out there. Also, his like background being a Jehovah's Witness is still like, personally for me, it's a little culty, but having been inside the Jehovah's Witness system. But never mind that. The music aspect of it,
yes.
I think this will be really interesting to expose people of a different age, and like bring in people who like just love Michael Jackson, like haven't heard some new content in a while.
I didn't even think about it that way.
It's a cool thing. It's a little weird because like, oh, Michael Jackson Halloween special. It makes sense, but also, huh?
Yeah, I was like, you said, oh yeah, his estate has a Twitter for him. What?
I mean, I guess so. We're just getting used to the idea of posthumous existence.
Yes.
In the music industry, because
industry and everything, because I see more and more of it
with social, like,
yeah,
it's not like estates were writing articles in the newspaper back in the 50s and 60s
no
about like dead artists, so the fact that the estates are tweeting out for them and they have these presents out for them and they're kind of like working on their behalf is super interesting. I wonder how you get Michael Jackson's password. Someone's got to have it. It's publicists. Whatever.
Yeah.
No one's getting my Twitter password. I die, that's over. follow me on Twitter at Dan from the Web. Okay. Really fast, I saved a little bit of hot take juice for Joey Badass.
Who the fuck?
So Joey Badass is a New York rapper. He's a little up and coming. He's on that like rapper ego stunt where he's like,
no,
he basically said that Joey Badass himself, who's like in his 20s or something, like I don't even know, but
by the way, he has two money signs for S's.
You didn't know that?
I hate that.
Well, if you don't know, now you know. Born at, he's 22 years old. He was born in 95. He's a year older than us.
I don't like that.
And he said that, he had inspired Jay-Z's 444.
What?
Wonder what I got to say to that?
What?
Credit.
Credit. You only know that you get more money, Badass? Credit.
Credit.
What? I'm reading this. This is ridiculous.
Badass said being an inspiration to a rapper like Jay-Z, quote, keeps me hungry. It keeps me wanting more, he added. It keeps me wanting to go harder. Like, right now, I'm my best. I'm at my most ultimate. So in Joey Badass's, like, fucking upside down topsy-turvy world, he thinks that he matters a damn to Jay-Z.
Jay-Z cares about
For the record, Jay-Z mentioned a lot of artists, like maybe somewhere around, I think I saw an article that said, and I'm not totally sure if this is right, but I think I saw an article that said somewhere around like 100 artists were referenced in Jay-Z's 444.
Holy shit.
Not a single fucking one of them is Joey Badass. Like, I've heard good things about Joey Badass. I haven't honestly listened to a lot of his work, but like, don't let Kendrick get to you.
He's being a cunt, basically.
He's gonna smack you in the face, make it look sexy, and tell you to be humble.
Oh, God.
Because, like,
no.
I'm so sick of this, like, unnecessary bullshit bravado from rappers who, like...
Rap beef game is real, man.
This isn't rap beef. This is like... It's like when an ant crawls on you. Like, oh, that's an interesting thing. Damn! Fuck out of here.
Jay-Z could put a magnifying glass on him and burn him to death.
Literally, like, there's no disrespect. Well, yeah, disrespect to Joey Badass, because he came with disrespect. Like, respect your fucking elders.
Game, respect, game. Come on, yo.
Yeah, but I, like, Joey Badass just figured out what a microphone was. Just figured out what, like, audiences are. And now he's coming out saying, no, I inspired Jay-Z to make my... Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, God. He was... Oh, God, that's like, about to go off. Like, he can't do... Like... Ooh, man, you're heating.
Has Joey Badass been, like, to France? Can he even say that... Can Joey Badass perform Niggas in Paris?
Can he say bleep in Indonesia or what?
Can Joey, like... Who the fuck? I'm not
Joey
even...
Badass, you were still sucking on your mom's tit when Jay-Z was out rapping in the Bronx.
I'm done. That's it. I can't say. I'm out. Sean... Sean, you and Jim Rohn smack off next week?
Oh, I'm gonna smack off. I'm gonna fly in a freaking helicopter, park it on top of his studio over next to Riley Auto Parts.
TBS Sports Radio. Okay.
Woo!
SoundCloud. The latest news.
Just die. just go.
So
out.
There are some reports. Bad news for music companies in Sweden, for streaming services in Sweden.
Right?
I guess.
Right. So to Sweden today.
It turns out that SoundCloud. Let's see.
It says it's not going anywhere.
So there's a report in, I want to say, XXL magazine that SoundCloud only had enough funding for the fourth quarter of 2017. This comes hot off after
they
laid off like a lot of their staff.
40% of their staff.
I believe. And they're doing some like massive downsizing. So that's a thing. But nevertheless, SoundCloud says that, no, we have enough, like, financial ability to be solvent. The layoffs we made will kind of help that. But, like, honestly, what else are you supposed to say? Are you supposed to say that, like, hey, your company that you'd hopefully like investors to invest in at some point so you can actually start making a goddamn profit, we're actually fucked? No, you can't say that.
No,
you
never.
You can't do that.
They're still trying to be independent, but I don't think they can.
You can't be independent if you don't exist.
Exactly.
So here's an interesting thing I heard recently. Pandora has been around a long time, right?
Yeah,
10 years. They've been around a long time. They're not profitable yet.
Still.
Yeah. they're relying off of investment, venture capital, whatever little they make off of ad sales and particular deals and things. But no, Pandora is still, and they have a subscription service now too, which is like, yeah, and fucking then, like, finally. But Pandora is not profitable after this long. I think it's the streaming services are, it's very hard to, and I guess this kind of goes into like a larger conversation we're having about streaming services in general a lot in this episode, but like, it's very hard for streaming services to monetize. The only ones that have really done well is iTunes. No, the only reason, the only one that's done well is Apple Music, because it used to be iTunes.
Used to be iTunes, which
and
was,
that was the disruptive one.
And iTunes is the one that everybody used before, you know, it got shit and, because, you know, deleted half of my music. Thanks, Apple. And that's why I use a Google Pixel now. Fuck you, everybody on Apple. Eat a pear and a banana. Fuck apples.
So, I'm so dumb. This is an angry episode today.
Yes.
But the issue with, like, yeah, Apple is successful in the streaming world because they had iTunes to kind of ride their back on. And iTunes was successful because Steve Jobs was able to convince all the record labels at the time to go in with it.
And it worked for a long time. It was great.
Yeah. And then Apple Music has been successful a lot on the back of these like exclusivity deals that have been going on.
Yeah.
And so that's been a good move for them. But for all the other ones, your Pandoras, your SoundClouds, your Spotifys. I mean, Spotify might be able to like get its head above water because they look like they have a pretty good thing.
Spotify is chilling right now.
Yeah.
Everybody else
not,
is...
I'm not chilling. Like, Spotify still is not making great profits per se, but they're
super
popular.
They're
not going away anytime soon.
No, because the thing with them is they have the smart thing of the unlimited streaming if you subscribe to the service, which I know so many people that have done that. And that, for them, is just a very good way to generate
revenue. I am on the student discount right now for Spotify. I wouldn't use any streaming services if it weren't for that.
Yeah, me too.
Which is, like, phenomenal. So it's, like...
It's such a good idea because they know you want to listen to so much music, but it's a pain in the ass, and a lot of students can't afford it. And
yeah.
So Spotify's done almost the perfect recipe.
Yeah, I want to come back to that. With about like the advantage of streaming over physical, but
yeah, but
for now with
SoundCloud, they're not doing shit.
Well, like I want to underscore the importance of SoundCloud and Pandora to music as we know it, because through Pandora I discovered a lot of artists that I didn't previously know.
And I know, like, people still use Pandora.
Yeah, and no, my girlfriend almost exclusively uses Pandora because she just likes music to be playing and not like she doesn't like to choose it really.
It's a good way to discover new ones.
And Pandora has the Music Genome Project, which relies a lot on like human recommendations of things, which can make the playlists work better. The downside is they just have less access to music, and having a human listen and having humans listen and categorize music just takes a lot longer than letting algorithms do the work for you, which is something Spotify does. But the downside is that Spotify's playlists aren't the automatically generated playlists aren't always that great. Discover Weekly is pretty good. New Music Radar is pretty good, but like some of the mixes and the song radio still leave a lot to be desired, whereas Pandora is pretty good on that.
Extremely random.
Yeah, and then SoundCloud is just like the home for independent music. If anything, I would love to see SoundCloud stop its street. Like, I'd love to see SoundCloud become a like independent music label almost. Because
what do you mean? They kind of are.
Well, SoundCloud isn't a label; they're a service.
Oh, you mean okay, I didn't hear you say label. Okay.
Yeah, because SoundCloud, like, the reason why SoundCloud's so important, I think why so many people want it to stay, is that people do use it. It's very popular in the, like, independent music game. For people who like to hear up-and-coming artists, that's the best place to hear music. For people who like to hear artists who are, like, kind of established, but like, hey, I'm just releasing a mixtape, or here, here's, like, a demo I made. People who don't want to go through the official channels, they go through SoundCloud. And that's where you get a lot of the creativity. And so it's this great bubble for creativity. It just doesn't make any money.
No.
And so, how does SoundCloud make money? How can SoundCloud save its ass? Because right now, it looks like it's on a death spiral, and I don't think we'll be having this conversation in a year.
Because they have some, like, subscriber thingy, but no one ever uses it, because there's no point in subscribing to SoundCloud.
I mean, no, there totally is. If you have an artist who, like, you like on SoundCloud, and you want to see their, like, new things, like, I'm not speaking from total knowledge, but let's take Rez, for example. You want to hear, like, Rez's, like, newest work that maybe she won't distribute through, like, regular channels or and I'm not sure if you can do this for Rez specifically, but I know for a lot of artists, especially in electronic music, if you want to hear demos or mixes that maybe use other people's music that maybe isn't totally legal, but you can do that on SoundCloud. And there's a lot of creativity there, and a lot of people like to go to that. You can post like full mixes of like live concerts and festivals. That's a lot of SoundCloud. Yeah. There are podcasts you can have on SoundCloud.
There are a lot of podcasts you can have on SoundCloud. I mean, and then there's a lot for a lot of house music stuff. That's what you put on, because you put on, you know, an hour
exactly. mix. And there's no other like really good music service on the internet where you can just like let a mix play for an hour and like just let it go. I'm sure there's no technological reason why Apple Music or Spotify wouldn't do those things, but because of those like relations with the labels, it's harder to do that because there'll be so much like not properly used or licensed music that'll be out there. But I don't know, it just kind of sucks because SoundCloud is a very important part of music consumption. Pandora is a very pivotal part of music consumption, I would say. Helps a lot of people discover new music. Both services do. But like, there's no profitability in people discovering new music, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. Okay.
So back to my question is, so with all of the peccadilloes of streaming, that's a fun word, I haven't used that in a while.
Peccadilloes.
With all of the like oddities in streaming music, is this better than buying physical copies of things? So if we had to go back to when internet wasn't reliable enough to download music properly, and you had to like get CDs and burn them and put them on the MP3 players, even use CD players, is that better overall for the artists and the industry and consumers, or is streaming better with all of the downsides that streaming has?
Because
to me, I think it's no, I still prefer streaming.
I think it's streaming now, honestly, because
There's the so much way, for consumers, there's so much more you can get for so much less money.
So much, exactly. And that's just never going to go away, because now you've opened, no pun intended, Pandora's box. You have unlimited access to music. You don't have to go on YouTube. You don't have to, like, you know, constantly search to get this or that, you know. It's just on this streaming service, on this app, on your phone or on your laptop, computer, whatever. Yeah. And you pip it up, boom, it's there. This is ridiculous. It's never been this easy to hear music, basically, you know, and it's not that expensive to get a subscribe to
for the average person. For average, $10 to $15 a month, you or your family can basically get unlimited music.
Yeah,
and from Google, from Apple, from Spotify, on pretty much every single device you have, anywhere you are.
Pretty much.
I mean, and that is an incredible thing. The fact that, with some exceptions, like, I can't go on Spotify and listen to Jay-Z because credit, but...
Because credit.
But, like, I can listen to pretty much... Like, when Daily came out with an album, I was able to just go straight to Spotify and listen to it on while I'm driving in the car on my way over here to record the podcast. Otherwise, I would have had to go to a store and hope they have it in stock and get the CD and listen to the CD and... There are limited places to listen to a CD.
Or what I would do is, like, you just go on YouTube and hopefully they have it there or something, and it's just, and either the sound quality isn't that great, or
but YouTube's still streaming.
In a way, yes, but I'm saying the way streaming apps have gotten. Because before you go to listen to something new, then you'd go on YouTube, you get annoyed, and then you'd buy it afterwards, because the quality and stuff is never as good as the actual quality of what's supposed to be in the sound studio. But then you have just examples like SoundCloud or Spotify. You go on there, it's like, whoa, this is the normal quality. I don't have to skip this or that to get it. There's no loops that you have to jump through to hear the
what
music.
I used to hate,
they're just there.
What I used to hate is like listening to music, but the only thing on YouTube was like a really shitty version that I just couldn't listen to. Or the music video, where there's like, you can't listen to the music video because there's like background noises and things. So
exactly, that's exactly my point.
Right.
Is that, and then now, instead of having to buy music, you know, every once in a while, you'd be like, okay, I could buy an album now. I have enough, whatever. You buy a $10, $15 album, and then you have to wait a bit, then buy another one. And then if you're like me and you listen to an absurd amount of music, you just can't do that, because I'd be spending thousands of dollars a month obtaining music. I think that's just too much.
That's funny you mentioned that. Reminds me of my older brother, who's like a generation older than me, basically.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And he said that, oh, now that I have Spotify, I'm like really getting into Wu-Tang Clan. Because I loved Wu-Tang Clan, but I could only afford one, maybe two of their albums.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm now learning that there's this whole discography and that all the artists like Q-Tip and ODB and all these different people, like Method Man, they all like went out and did their own things. I'm listening to their solo projects, and that's cool. And that's something I can do for $10 a month.
Yeah, $10 a month, you get almost unlimited music, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. It's never been this, again, it's never been this accessible in history, pretty much. And it's
the
ridiculous.
Downsides, though, are that like artists
won't get paid as much, and there's it could get sketchy with that and a few other things. I mean, there's always pros and cons with it, but for the consumer, this is amazing. Pretty
yeah.
Much. For the, I mean, yeah.
I think it's pretty open and shut.
So, want to go to our recommendations? Because, I mean, yes. This is a pretty short episode. Yeah. I mean, there's no big news, really.
Believe it or
so.
Not, we still made it an hour.
Still made an hour? Wow. Yeah. We fucking bullshitted our way through that.
Wow, you listen to this? I mean, thank you for listening to this.
Yeah, and if you want any ball foot talk, football, soccer, if you're in America, fucking Americans, go listen to the We Made It podcast for Bam and Caesar, 15 doors, 15 steps away on the one, the only
We Made It. Syndicate23.co to check that out.
Yes,
okay, so music recommendations. This week, I'm recommending 20SYL. That's like 20SYL. I want to say he's French. I truthfully don't know because I don't really think about the artist too much. I just think about he's a French rapper, DJ, and producer. I really think about the music, not necessarily like the artist's background too much, since I really get into them. The first time I heard 20SYL's music was actually on YouTube. One of my favorite YouTubers is MKBHD. He's this like tech vlogger guy, and he uses a lot of his music for intros. MKBHD used the song "Ongoing Thing" by 20SYL, which is like possibly my favorite genre of music, which is when you blend electronic music with rap.
Okay, interesting.
And it's like really good. It's like this really chill kind of like beat and flow, especially with "Ongoing Thing." He's only got a couple of EPs out, and I really just, please make an album. Please make an album. I would blast that shit so much, but
that's funny.
No, it's just got this like the kind of electronic music you would listen to on Majestic Casual, kind of. So, like, kind of really chill stuff, but, like...
Nothing crazy, but still.
Yeah, nothing too crazy, but, like, also not, like, slow, like Majestic Casual, still very, like, upbeat. There's a song called "Can You Dance to This?" I totally forgot about that one. "Ongoing Thing" featuring Odyssey is one of my favorite songs. "Bet Dat Goombaun," which is very hard to, like, say, but I love that song
as
well.
Sounds like a level Mario.
And "Copycat" from his EP Motifs 2 are three of my favorite 20SYL songs. And yeah, check him out because I really want him to just be like, listen to more and hopefully, please God, make a full album.
And mine is a freaking crazy dude who just pumps out content.
Content.
Like that dude's mental is Flying Lotus.
Flying Lotus.
Dude is mental. I love it. Best way I can describe his music.
Can you describe his music?
I don't even know if you can describe it. Is electronic, experimental, and strange. Which is...
You've been on it with the description
today. Like, that is the definition of Sean Suarez right there. It's extremely experimental. He does whatever he wants. Really heavy electronic stuff. Some house vibes, but there's no, like, set... like genre of electronic music that you put it under. I mean, and this fool has so many songs, like it's ridiculous. But my favorite,
like,
by
powerful far, synths, so, powerful percussion, but not drum and bass at all.
No, not drum and bass at all. Not really. I mean, no wub. I mean,
no wub, no dub.
Yeah, and it's good. I mean, just honestly, go on the popular on Spotify, just click shuffle, and it's like you. I cannot explain it, but it's really good. The dude is busy as hell, though. He just made some creepy-ass earthquake film or something, apparently.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the dude's everywhere.
He just pumps out music.
He just pumps out music and movies and crazy shit. Amazing producer.
Yeah.
And,
I love Flying Lotus as well. And I think my favorite album is his 2010 Cosmogramma, just because,
yeah, it's
like...
it's fucking so good. Holy crap.
And
do the astral plane.
You know, I would describe Flying Lotus personally is like mostly instrumental.
It
like,
is usually instrumental.
Mostly yeah. instrumental, like, yeah, odd, instrumental, experimental. Some of it's like kind of chill, but some of it's upbeat. It's music that I would run to. It's music that I might relax to. It's music that I would just do work to. It's nice to have in the background.
It's but very it's, good background
but music. To call it background music would be an understatement, just like how interesting yeah. it really is.
It's good. I say it's good in the background. It's not background. It's not elevator background music. Yeah. It's because you listen to it, you go, what the hell's going on? But it's cool if you have it in the background when you're reading. I like, I'm weird. Yeah. I like to, when I read, I like to listen to music because then it kind of immerses me in the world. But, or if you're going out, or if you're going on a long solo drive or something, it's kind of cool to just relax and put it on. It's really good thinking music is the best way I could put it. Extremely experimental and weird, but it's really, really good.
So the songs you liked were just ain't.
Do the Astro Plane, Zodiac Shit, by far, my two favorites.
Both from Cosmogramma.
Both
from
Cosmogramma. I also do like,
You Dead?
Well, You Dead is the entire album. I'm trying to, from You Dead, where the fuck is it? God, I can't think of it. It might be Turtles. It's around there. Turtles or Moment of Hesitation. I can't think of them.
I love, from Cosmogramma, Drips/Auntie's Harp. I just love like the first part of it. It's just like cool. powerful... like thing, and then it's like fades into kind of like a more calming mm-hmm. song. And then I also really loved You're Dead. And
also Satellites.
That's a weird spelling. Dead Man's Tetris is my favorite song from You're Dead, and it's one of, probably my favorite.
Yeah. And then also I do like Electric Candyman because it does feature the one, the only Tom York, and it's pretty cool.
That's
really, it's a really fucking weird
hold
song.
Hold up, I bet you thinking that we did. Sorry, that's Dead Man's Tetris. I fucking love that song. But yeah, Flying Lotus also performs a lot. He does a lot of concerts. Definitely check it out if you can see him. Although I would say the crowds there are very like it's like the super druggy hipsters.
Yeah,
not bad. Got nothing against druggy hipsters. Some might argue that I'm one of those myself. But like,
it's Dan times 10 if you know him, which is bad. It's rough.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much all we've got.
They do PCP on the low, and like, this is rough.
That's actually very accurate. I wouldn't say PCP, but like, ayahuasca maybe.
Susquehanna weed.
And that will be the end of another dent in my career, an episode of Audio Face.
There you go.
Speaking of my career, I've actually done a lot of like content lately, and if you want to dip into the political stuff I've been doing... check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/DanFromTheInternet, and my articles on CuffPost.
And I'm not that cool. I just run around the world in spandex.
You just raced the Hermosa Beach triathlon and were 7th overall and 2nd in your age group.
Yeah.
So brag about yourself a little bit.
Woo!
Brag about yourself a little bit. Catch Sean and all of his triathlon adventures at SW Suarez on Instagram and Twitter. Dan from the web on Twitter for me until I can fucking. Dan from the net on Twitter. I'm gonna fucking get that shit. I swear to God. Dan from the internet, pretty much everywhere else, especially on Instagram. And yeah, next week I think we'll have a lot more to really talk about. But yeah, I gave all of my takes.
There'll be a lot of releases next week. I know that for sure. A lot of releases for albums. So there'll be lots of news coming next week. So yeah,
stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening so much. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes and all those fun things.
Comment, tell us how much you hate us.
Engagement.
How the petrodollar doesn't exist. And
so much petrodollar for a show that has nothing to do with oil.
Buy Bitcoin, guys. Do it. Invest in Bitcoin.
Ethereum. That's
Ethereum
where
Ethereum is the new thing. All right,
that's
guys.
That's where it is.
Ethereum is.
Get your Ethereum while it's low. Buy low, sell high.
Buy low, sell high. It's the new Bitcoin. Ethereum.
Alphabet. Okay, goodbye.
All right, cheers.
I wonder if they'll be able to nether it either.
Oh, fuck yeah.